We're going to continue from what we were doing last week. But you know, that song there, are you past the point of weary? Is your burden weighing heavy? Is it all too much for y'all to carry? Let me tell you about my Jesus. He can loosen the burden. Just give it to Him. He can carry it. And He makes a way where there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty grave. Because if you look around, things might look impossible to be turned around right now. Right? Brother, but God.
But God.
Since when has impossible ever stopped God Almighty?
Come on.
Let me remind you something. Friday's disappointment is Sunday's empty tomb.
Yes.
Yeah. Come
on.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Again, since when has impossible ever stopped God? See, our God is able to save, to deliver, to heal, to restore anything He wants to. All you got to do is ask the man who was thrown on the bones of Elijah if there's anything that God can't do. In 2 Kings 13, verses 12, 20 and 21, then Elisha died and was buried. Groups of Moabite raiders used to invade the land each spring. Now, while Elijah was alive, this wasn't happening. Okay. Once, when some Israelites were burying a man, they spied a band of these raiders, these Taliban, who would just take your life for no reason. Do you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. So they hastily threw the corpse into the tomb of Elisha, and they fled. But as soon as the body touched Elijah's bones, the dead man revived and jumped to his feet.
Yes.
Whew, what am I doing here? I need to get out of here.
Yeah.
He wasn't dead no longer.
Right.
The anointing on the man of God was still on the bones.
Oh, yeah.
All they had to do was reach out and touch it. He couldn't on his own. His friends say, oh, we'll just throw him in hell. Well, yeah, they did him a favor, hallelujah.
Yeah.
Or just ask that stone that was rolled at the tomb at the garden. What happens when God says to move?
Yep.
See, God spoke. And when he spoke with authority and he spoke with power.
Yeah.
Speaking with authority language is what we're talking about. The language of our King, King Jesus. Never a man spake like this man. And that's what it says in John 7, 46 concerning Jesus. He spoke differently. His language was powerful and his words were weighty. His words were positive, sure, decisive, confident, and bold. He spoke kingly language. His speech resonated with authority.
Yes.
Now you can look to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. And I'm going to be reading verse 31 through 36. Then Jesus went down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and was teaching them at the Sabbath. And they were astonished, it says, and they were astonished at his teaching, for his word was with authority. They were astonished at his ability to discuss the issues directly rather than merely noting traditions. Verse 33. Now in the synagogue, there was a man who had a spirit of an unclean demon. Don't think that they can't come into the house of God.
Come on.
But they can be suppressed to not make any confusion. See, a lot of people think, oh, I'll go in there and there's not going to be nothing happening there. Don't be that naive. It happened back then, right when Jesus was in the house. And he cried out with a loud voice, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. The demon knew Jesus possessed divine authority and wanted nothing to do with him. The Holy One of God is what he called him. And it is both a divine and a kingly title. The title Holy One of God means that Jesus is infinitely and absolutely holy, fully and perfectly divine. He is transcendent and he is exalted. By transcendent, that is existing apart from and not subject to the limitations of the material universe. And exalted is a person placed at a high and powerful level with authority. Verse 35, but Jesus rebuked him, saying, be quiet and come out of him. And when the demon had thrown him into their midst, didn't say on the ground, just thrown him right into the center, it came out of him, and it did not hurt him. Then they were all amazed and spoke among themselves, saying, what a word this is! For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out. What a word this is. For with exousia and dunamis he speaks. The Greek word exousia is authority. And it was delegated authority from God the Father. That's how he operated. And it is the ability or strength with which one is endued, which he either possesses or exercises. Jesus did both. Dunamis, power. But that's inherent power. Power residing on the inside. That is the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus' power came from the Holy Spirit. When he came to this earth, he came as a babe. He was full of grace and truth. Didn't say anything about power, did it? He came to be as a natural man, so that he could feel and live the way you live, so that he could identify with you and me. Luke chapter 3, verses 21 through 22. When all the people were baptized, this is when John the Baptist was baptizing, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while he prayed, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, you are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased. That's when he got powered up. Luke 4, verse 1 and 2. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. With the power of the Holy Spirit now residing on the inside, he was ready to take on the devil's temptations. Power comes through the Holy Spirit. Inherent power?
Yes.
Dunamis?
Yes.
During Jesus' earthly ministry, he was filled with the Spirit, he was led by the Spirit, and he was empowered by the Spirit to do miracles. And he performed them constantly, didn't he? Everybody thinks a miracle is a healing. Huh? There are miracles beyond that,
yes,
too. I mean, that's one that we rejoice in.
Yes.
You get your healing. That's a miracle.
Yep.
Miracles when he makes a way that you end up being able to purchase the house you wanted to purchase.
Come on, Pastor.
Buy the car. Get the right job. It's a miracle. It just worked its way in there for you.
Yes.
The favor of God and his miracles will do wonders.
Yes, sir. Come
on. You got to believe that he still does miracles today. He ain't ran out of miracles.
That's right.
He ain't run out of miracles.
That's right.
He ain't like Santa Claus opening the wall. He ain't no more in that sack, no.
That's right.
He can do miracle after miracle after miracle.
Yeah.
You know what we got to do? Simply believe.
Yes, sir.
Simply believe. After Jesus had ascended to heaven, though, the Spirit came down upon the apostles and those that were in the upper room. What was it, 120 of them?
Yep,
120 of them there. And then the Spirit was also available at that time to all believers. The same Holy Spirit with all his power is here for the asking. 1 John 4:4. For me, I say this, the Spirit who lives in me is greater than the Spirit who lives in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I got filled with the Holy Spirit. You get the Spirit, but you don't get the full power, the full dosage, till you get the baptism in the Spirit. Now, it says, I'm going to lay hands on you, and pray, and the baptism will come on. Do you know how many got covered in a baptism of the Holy Spirit on the first preaching by Peter? 3,000. He didn't run around and put hands on all of them. No. And do you know how I got filled with the Spirit? I was driving to Pittsburgh on 376.
Right.
And I was just crying out because, you know, we've been hearing about the Holy Spirit in the church and I was new in Christ and I wanted this. I wanted to have that power because I was starting to understand what it did. I was at like a dormant stage. You need to take it to a next level, and you can't do that till you get the Holy Spirit. Well, I was crying out to God, and I never get it. I come down that bottom, went underneath that little railroad trestle there, and I was going up Green Tree Hill. And I was just praying to God, saying I want it in my little tracer, going about 95 mile an hour. And It came over me. I had to pull off the side of the road. I pulled off the side of the road there. And I was sitting in a car, and it was like, wow. And then I just started praying in tongues. I was so excited. I just started praying in tongues. I finished driving up over the hill then, got myself pulled back together, went down through, and went to my job. That's how I received the Holy Spirit, because I wanted it that bad. God didn't say, okay, you can't get it till you go into church on Sunday and they lay hands on you.
Right.
No, if you're crying out enough and you want the Holy Spirit's going to fall upon you. And don't let anybody tell you it doesn't happen that way, because it does happen that way. But if you need that reassurance, we can come up and we can lay hands on you to get the full power of the Holy Spirit by laying our hands on you and agreeing with you. And then you may not start speaking in tongues right away. Some people don't right away. And then they sit down and they walk back. Well, I didn't get it. Yes, you did.
Yeah.
That's the devil trying to tell you no. Because the more you agree with that no that he's trying to tell you, you ain't going to be speaking in tongues and you ain't going to have the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
You aren't letting it go.
Yeah.
Yep. Hallelujah. That's Jesus. Hallelujah. Yeah, but I got a lot of pages, brother. I'm just telling you. Okay, again, Luke 4:36. Then they were all amazed and spoke among themselves, saying, "What a word this is! For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out." Jesus spoke with exousia and dunamis, with authority and with power. Do you understand the two now? The delegated came from God to the Son. Then the Son went up and said, "Okay, Dad, we need to send it back down to cover those that I promised it to." And once it went to them, they were to share it with all the others. And that's what we're to do. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He spoke authority language. The language of a king is how Jesus spoke. It was a ruling, reigning, and a commanding language. I'm going to say it again, commanding language. Now, Luke 7, I'm going to give you a little example. Luke 7, 11. 7, come 11. Okay.
That's right.
Now, it happened the day after that, he went into a city called Nain. And many of his disciples went with him, and a large crowd. And when he came near the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the city was with her. When Jesus saw her, he had compassion on her. And he said to her, "Don't weep." This was coming right to Jesus, right past him. He didn't get out of the way and go like this. No. I need to bring comfort. I need to reach out and touch somebody here. Then he came and he touched the open coffin. And they who carried him stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." What do you think happened? The young man got up.
Yeah.
And he began to speak, is what it says. And Jesus said, "Okay," and he presented him back to his mother.
Wow.
Commanding power. Authority, hear it? He commanded. Rise. In John chapter 11, Jesus didn't tell Mary and Martha, "Sorry about your brother, but I can't do anything about it now. You know, he's been in the grave too long." No. Compassion and the power of the Holy Spirit rose inside of him. And when it did, he spoke with bold authority and made a decree.
Yep.
"Lazarus,
yeah,
come forth."
Yep.
And he came back to life.
Yeah,
hopping out of there. Released the bedclothes off that man. He's no longer dead. Absolutely no one spoke with more authority than Jesus. He demonstrated the importance to us of speaking with authority language. He spoke with power. His words were sure and spoken with might. See, kings talk differently. Their speech resonates with authority.
Yeah.
They carry themselves with authority.
Yeah.
That means they don't have doubt in what they say. Amen. And command. And it's high time that the remnant bride to begin to carry herself with authority.
Yeah.
Knowing that a yes on earth is a yes in heaven, and a no on earth is a no in heaven. Knowing that heaven and the Holy Spirit and the angel armies of God are backing up those words. No and yes. Pretty simple. How do I know what's no and yes? Read the Bible. Word up. Word up. He'll show you the yeses and he'll show you the noes.
Yes,
Jesus said, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." Jesus is saying, my words are different. They are powerful and energized with authority to produce. He says, I use my words to rule the reign in this life on earth. And as joint heirs with me, you are to do the same thing. Yes, you are. Because Jesus said this, it is the Spirit that quickens, and the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Mm-hmm. Jesus spoke spirit words that are alive and they are powerful. Words quickened by the inherent power of the Holy Spirit. To represent our King and our kingdom, we must learn to speak kingly language. We have to speak strong, forceful, confident words that are powerful and effective. Not knowing our authority is a shame.
Yes. Yeah.
But we know our authority. And it is time to speak with authority. We must plant God's words. His words are seeds into the heavens and the earth. See, they will germinate. They will produce after their kind. They will produce what they are. To represent Jesus, though, we must talk like Him.
Amen.
We are to release commanding words of power and authority against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual armies of wickedness in heavenly places that rise against us.
Yes,
us, the ecclesia of His kingdom here on earth.
Yes.
Knowing who we are, the ecclesia, we are to exercise kingdom jurisdiction in our region. We are to live, move, act, and talk like kings under King Jesus. We are to speak words in His name that are alive, active, and powerful. There are words based upon God's word, His covenant, His laws, and His principles. We're to activate our authority with our words. Because our nation really needs it.
Amen.
And so does this world.
Amen.
Sadly, though, the church has embraced the language of sheep rather than the language of kings. Now you're saying, wait a minute, I thought we're sheep. Yes, like sheep. We follow our great shepherd, Jesus.
Amen.
Listening for His voice. We go where He leads. We follow no one else. And we submit to no one else.
Amen.
But our language is to be the language of kings as we reign with Him, like kings and priests. See, it's time we discern what the Spirit of God is really saying. We do not bow sheepishly to an ungodly government or an ungodly world.
Amen.
We do not say, bah, to the devil.
That's right.
I ain't gonna call it, bah, no. No, sir. We say, go in the name of Jesus Christ. We say, be bound by the superior forces of the kingdom of Almighty God in Jesus' name.
Yes.
We're the one who will decide what is done here on earth, not you demons.
Amen.
We do not and will not sheepishly bow to the gates of hell.
Amen.
The ecclesia will prevail over the gates of hell.
Amen.
We cannot represent a king who spoke with power with wimpy, restrained words from doubtful minds. We cannot represent him with negative statements from intimidated thinking. We cannot stand in the face of demons from hell and speak quiet, shy words of compromise.
That's right.
When you compromise, you lose. You end up running out with your tail between your legs. We will not surrender. The Church of Jesus Christ will not surrender. Our King will not let it happen. Because He supplies us with the Holy Spirit with dunamis. Power. We cannot sheepishly run from the gates or authorities of hell. We cannot speak fearful, apprehensive words of nervousness that grovel around in cringing weakness because of our cowardness. Ooh. We're to be bold. Be bold.
Yes.
Kings speak with authority. To be a king, to be kings and priests of the household who rule and reign with Him in this life, we are going to have to do it with boldness. We must declare the Word of God with authority. The church, the early church, they understood this. We need to understand it as well. The prophets and the apostles in the book of Acts operated in very bold authority. Amen? They spoke the king's language. In fact, the apostles' prayer shows their awareness of it. Acts chapter 4, verses 29-31. Grant unto your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word, by stretching forth your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of your holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed that prayer, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They spoke the word of God with boldness. The apostles' prayer here needs to become a prayer for today's ecclesia. Notice, though, that they were all filled with the Holy Spirit right after that prayer. And they all spoke the Word of God. And they spoke it with boldness. That needs to happen today. That needs to happen today. The apostles and saints together form an authoritative voice, a voice that represents our King. And we only have one King, King Jesus. Boldness in these verses is the Greek word parousia, meaning outspokenness, frankness, commanding words, and commands. It is actually a military word concerning leaders or generals. Maybe some of our generals need this. Generals are commanders. Yeah. Well, they're going to get awakened real soon. They are given command of troops. Why? Because they make commands. Parousia. See, we are commanding ones. You didn't miss that, did you? We are commanding ones. Parousia means freedom to say or command and confidence to say. So obviously, we are to say something. We are to be outspoken. Parousia is a combination of two words, pas and rio. Pas means the way or manner. And rio means speak, command, or say. In other words, they understood the way or manner they spoke was important. They understood how they talked. They understood how they talked, how they talked mattered.
Yeah.
It matters. So grant us boldness to make commands. Give us freedom to be outspoken for our King. Give us confidence to say what He says. Boldness to command healings and miracles in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. As kings under Christ's command, anoint us. Anoint us, Lord. Anoint us to talk like kings, like generals, given authoritative commands. Anoint us to rule like kings in this life. Give us boldness to live out our lives like God's kids. King's kids. King's kids. God took a people who dared to pray that prayer, and He anointed them to reign with Him. Now. Not in the future. Now. We're reigning in His kingdom that He established here. We're the ecclesia. We're the governing, ruling, reigning body of Christ here on the earth. Not future. Right now we're supposed to be reigning. We are the ecclesia. We need to open our mouths. Can't be quiet no more. But He confirmed their bold faith commands with signs, wonders, and miracles. And we have been seeing that. He gave them harvest after harvest after harvest until harvests were no longer added to them, brother. They were multiplied to them. Their influence turned the world upside down. Today's church is being reintroduced to a revelation that is indeed revolutionary. Because of the suppression and distortion of the truth by our adversaries, because of the humanistic doctrine from man that has penetrated the church today, because of pharisaical laws that have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof, and because of religious spirits that want to rule in place of God, this truth concerning authority language has been dormant for centuries. The Holy Spirit is quickening it, though, again. The Holy Spirit is anointing this truth to be heard for such a time as this. He is breathing life on the words and upon those who will hear them. Jesus said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." The ecclesia is rising up and becoming the King's voice in our nation and upon the earth again. The church is rising from the ash heaps of religious bondage. It is rising from the desolation of pharisaical laws. His ecclesia is raising in spite of critical spirits designed to muzzle God's people. It is raising in spite of political pressure and even societal pressure to keep quiet, keeping your mouth shut. His born-again ones, that's us, the ecclesia, are rising in spite of politically correct language that is intolerant and even despises those who stand for something. The King's kids in His church, in our nation, and around the world are starting to find their voices. Amen?
Amen.
We have people that are speaking with voices on programs that you need to be listening to. Go Victory. Go to victory.com. Go to victory.com and listen. Absolutely. Listen to Flashpoint.
Yep.
Amen.
Oh, yeah.
You want the truth? They'll bring you the truth. And they leave you in hope.
Yes, sir. Yes, they do.
They can leave you in hope. They can present you with some of the worst facts going, but they can turn it around with hope because there's hope in Jesus Christ. God bless our General Copeland for doing what he's done and listening to God. The believers are rising to a new level of authority, because Jesus Christ, the King, will have a strong, clear, powerful, bold voice on the earth. He will be represented, and he will be represented well and accurately. We need to pray with authority language. We need to speak with authority language. We need to say what God says with authority language. See, it's time to release his words into the atmosphere. Until it's decreed, the word seed is dormant. See, it's time to plant the heavens. It's time to plant the earth. It's time to decree what God says. What God says matters. And what God says will work. It will work. Let's exercise our God-given authority and begin decreeing today. Here's one. We decree our churches are being filled with the presence of King Jesus, his Holy Spirit, and the manifest glory of the Father. This is what we should say. We declare, Ellicottville Christian Assembly, this house is being filled with the presence of King Jesus. We invite his glory. We declare, welcome to the manifest glory of our Father. Fill this house at Ellicottville Christian Assembly with the cloud of your presence, with the fire of your presence. We want and welcome the manifest presence of the living God. Come, hover over us. May there be an opening where the angels ascend and descend here. Loose them, Lord, to assist the King, the kingdom of heaven in this region. Loose them to assist the believers. That's what you call decreeing. And those, when they go forth, and they're planted in the earth and in heaven, and they're going to start to germinate, and that means they're going to start to grow. And for a nation, okay, we decree covenant blessings are working in the lives of God's people right here and right now. Covenant blessings are active in our homes. And we declare your covenants, your laws, and words into our lives. We plant them into our city. We plant them into our region, our state, and our nation. Your rule of law, your covenants, and your word. We lay them as a foundation in Jesus' name, and we declare, Lord, give us those who will honor your word in governmental positions. Give us political leaders, governors, mayors, everyone who leads or steps in the forefront in an official position. Give us those who will honor your word. We speak against those who will not.
Amen.
Remove them in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We would dare to do this as your word says, forbidding them from leading us. We will not be led by the unrighteous.
Amen.
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 Amen. Hallelujah. For whatever is of God overcomes the world, folks.
Yes.
And the victory that overcomes the world, our faith.
Yep.
Our faith.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Well, I thank you. Thank you for listening. And right now, Father, the words you have spoken over us, this nation, and the world, they are true. Not one word from your mouth will be left unfulfilled. What you have determined will be established. Your ecclesia stands with authority, an unflinching resolve to declare your words over and above every contradictory word, opinion, and circumstance. By faith, we access all that the Holy Spirit imparts to us and the clarity and direction He gives for where we are going. We look to You. We do not view things through the lenses of our emotions. We do not operate from a place where we think we are losing the battle. Our eyes are open to see and know that You have already secured our victory. America will be saved. We do not deny that bad things are happening in the world. Things over which we grieve, and at times, very deeply. But those things do not shake our faith. We allow Your truth to set us free from fear and uncertainty. We raise above the fray. We look beyond the chaos. And we confidently move with heavenly strategies to advance with You. And through us, You will firmly enforce Your verdict that America shall be saved. And that a worldwide revival is coming and will not be stopped. Father, we pray for the people of Afghanistan. We pray that Your righteous judgments will be released against the forces of evil there, and the suffering will be minimized. Send great revival to that nation. Use the evils there to turn many to Christ. Give the Christians great grace. May they represent You well in this dark time of their persecution. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you.